Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Can I use your mic?
DJ! Hit me!
This is the craziest thing I've ever experienced in my life.
Gary Hoffman.
The problem, sir, is that our hero is not, he's not a handsome man.
Shannon Farron.
The whole crowd band together and started chanting.
Gary and Shannon.
That's how the show started.
I was thinking this morning about how I felt after 9/11 and how I was racing to get to work. I couldn't wait to get to work. I was so angry. I wanted to dive into it. I wanted to figure out what to do. I wanted to get into what all led to this and what happened and all the stories and the victims and everything and how I felt none of that yesterday and this morning. I didn't feel any of it. I just felt sad.
Yeah, I said something to my wife yesterday. Right? I don't want to go to work tomorrow and just talk about this for 4 hours. It's not going to be any fun. It's not.
It's just sad. You know, it's like I'm driving in today and I'm listening to Handel and I'm having deja vu because I've heard him do the same segment 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I've lost count, but it's almost like I know exactly what he's going to say because I've heard it so many times. And all I could think about this morning, no knock on Handel, irrelevant. What they do in other countries when it comes to gun laws and all of that, totally irrelevant.
Yeah.
We are not Norway. We are not a Scandinavian country.
We're such an outlier when it comes to that sort of a thing.
It is part of our identity. Yeah. For better or for worse, it makes us different. And you can't look at what they do in Japan and draw parallels. You just can't, you know? But the sadness of hearing him do that again reminds me of how many times we've had to go through this. And how many times we've had to look at the anatomy of a school shooting or a mass shooting at a church or at a nightclub or at a concert or what have you. And it's very sad. And that's, you know, and I know everyone's running to get their politics out there. And that makes me sad, too. I just had to shut off social media because I'm like over it. You know, can't we just be sad for a little bit before we start running to point fingers at each other?
No, because people think that they've got the answers here. And outrage is not the answer. I mean, listen, Steve Kerr, great basketball coach, but Steve Kerr being angry and yelling at people before the game yesterday, I appreciate his passion. I absolutely understand his outrage. But just saying something needs to be done is such an understatement, and it's such a glossing over of what has, we've talked about it multiple times as well. There are complex issues here. It's not solely a gun issue. It's clearly not an AR-15 issue, because when you look at all of the statistics about all of this, it's not just that people are picking up rifles, semi-automatic rifles with large magazines that can shoot and kill a lot of people at a time. It's more than that. It's a lot more than that. Now, again, the basics of what we saw yesterday in Uvalde, Texas, at Robb Elementary School, 19 children were killed. 2 teachers were killed. At least 17 people were injured, including the shooter's grandmother, which already brings with it echoes of what we saw at Sandy Hook, where that guy killed his mom before he went to the school and started shooting that place up. There are more details also, and we'll get, I mean, there's plenty of time to parse through the specifics about what happened yesterday at about this time, by the way.
There is a press conference, and we will take you there live when it happens there in Texas. But we are learning more about the victims, and I think we should just get it out of the way what we know about the shooter as well. Like you said, shades of Sandy Hook here. This was a guy who bought 2 assault rifles just after his 18th birthday. People around him said he grew angry and isolated. And yes, this all sounds familiar, doesn't it? He failed to graduate high school. It made it worse. He was described as quiet by a lot of people who knew him. A young woman who worked with him at Wendy's did detect an aggressive streak. Several friends said he stopped showing up at school, was not going to graduate, like I said, with his class, that he could be very rude towards girls. Wendy's threatened one of the cooks by saying things like, "Don't you know who I am?" He would send inappropriate texts. He tried to fight people with boxing gloves at a nearby park. I mean, none of this really rises to the level of a giant red flag. But, you know, the people closest to him, and we've talked about the shooter at Sandy Hook and the mother had to know something was going on. Well, this guy did not get along with his mother, and he was staying with his grandmother because of that. They had problems. Mom was a drug addict.
I guess something whatever the fight was originally that prompted this also had to do with the mom and the fact that she was a drug addict. And who knows if this guy was on some sort of medication that at the age of 18, you can legally decide to stop taking if you're a minor. We've talked before about the emergency restrictive protective orders or whichever term you want to use for red flag laws. The state of Texas doesn't have one like we do here in California. The way it works in Texas is the family code makes it a county attorney or a criminal district attorney that's responsible for filing a family violence protective order. There's a mental health protective order statute as well that would likely have similar responsibilities. But they, in Texas, have not expanded them the way we've seen it in California and 19 other states. We talked about it in New York, as a matter of fact, in response to that shooting just a week and a half ago. There was also nothing, I mean, in terms of you want to expand background checks, which are in place all around the country.
However, 40% of guns do not need to, can be sold without a background check. And the last time they tried to pass universal background checks was after Sandy Hook. It was in 2013. And a number of senators, 46 or so, no, it had to be more. But anyway, I can't remember the number, voted against it to have universal background checks. And I'll just say this on the matter. If I'm a big fan of guns, I want universal background checks because right. I want to keep my guns.
Well, see, and that's the issue, or that's an issue of background checks that I've never quite wrapped my head around. I know plenty of people who own guns. I grew up around guns. I have zero problem with the idea of a background check or even these red flag laws that would go out and find somebody like this.
Yeah.
Now, again, I will say this. He didn't rise to the level of triggering any of the laws.
No.
Regardless of where he was. This is not just a Texas thing, despite everybody wanting to say, of course it happened in Texas. This guy had zero criminal record. He posted some weird things on social media, but was that enough? Would those have qualified him in any other state to not be allowed to purchase weapons? It doesn't appear that way.
No, I mean, he had shady behavior, but nothing that would rise to the level of triggering that background check. But, you know, that's not to say that we don't need a universal background check, you know what I mean? Even though it wouldn't have stopped this guy.
Well, you know what was interesting also, and we'll talk about this, I think, when we come back, is that the school district in Uvalde, again, this is a small town, what, 13, 14,000 people, it's just a handful of schools together. They were part of a program, an artificial intelligence program, that was supposed to root out potential mass killers by monitoring the students' social media. Now, this guy did have some things on his social media that now, of course, we could look back on and say, oh, that would have raised red flags. That would have caused people some consternation. And maybe somebody contacts law enforcement about this guy. But what this program is and why it didn't work in this case.
Also, he was DMing a girl in Los Angeles right before the shooting. We'll talk about that as well.
All right. Again, we're standing by for an update on the Governor Greg Abbott of Texas is expected to hold a news conference with other law enforcement officials there in Texas. And when that happens, we will bring it to you live. We are standing by. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is expected to hold a news conference here soon with some law enforcement officials regarding the shooting that we told you about first yesterday down in Uvalde, Texas at Robb Elementary. The numbers are just absolutely gut-wrenching. 19 children, 2 teachers killed, at least 17 others injured. And as we get more and more details about what actually happened, Texas Department of Public Safety Lieutenant Chris Olivares talked about what was going on in those initial moments on the campus and leading up to the shooting at the school itself.
Initially, there was a school police officer that was on scene that responded to the scene when the initial call came in. That school police officer here from Uvalde was exchanged gunfire with the shooter. He was hit. He was shot by the shooter. The shooter was then able to make entry into the school and barricaded himself inside a classroom, and that's when he just started shooting numerous children and teachers. And as of right now, we have 19 children that are deceased, as well as two adults, which are teachers, and 17 injured. At that point, the rest of the officers that responded on scene, local officers, state officers, everyone that worked together responded on scene, breaking windows around the school, trying to evacuate more children, more teachers. At that point, they were at a disadvantage. There was no way they were able to make entry into that classroom, but they were able to save more lives by rescuing and evacuating children and teachers. At that point, there was a specialized tactical team comprised of U.S. Border Patrol, as well as local police department officers here in Uvalde. They made forcible entry into that classroom. That agent was met with gunfire. He was hit, but was able to shoot and kill the suspect, and also to preserve any future loss of life in that classroom.
The school police officer was shot as well, right?
Yeah, that lieutenant corrected it later, or at least amended his statement later, and said that there were three officers who were in fact injured yesterday. One of them, that school police officer who was the first to exchange gunfire with this guy who was shot. This other one, a member, we believe, of a team called BORTAC, which is the Border Patrol's version of a SWAT team. And they are in all kinds of action in that part of Texas anyway. They were training nearby when they heard the call. And obviously, they're already geared up and ready to go. They went in, and one of these officers that works for Border Patrol was the one who eventually ended this guy's life before he could shoot any more people.
Well, it looks like this guy was messaging someone in Los Angeles on Instagram. "I got a little secret," he writes to her just hours before the shooting. There were screenshots of messages posted on Instagram. 3 days before the attack, an Instagram account linked to the shooter posted a photo of two rifles lying on a carpet. And that story tagged another account by name in the photo. And she says that she had no idea why he was tagging her in these gun pictures. She even asked him, "What your guns got to do with me? I'm so confused." And he told her, "Be grateful that I tagged you. I barely know you, and you tagged me with a picture with some guns," is what she wrote back. In another message that appeared to be sent yesterday morning, he wrote, "I'm about to," but didn't say what he would do, and then wrote, "I got a little secret." He wrote in another message, and then he said, "I want to tell you." She said, "The only reason I responded to him was because I was afraid of him. I wish I'd stayed awake to at least try to convince him not to commit his crime. I didn't know."
Yeah, this young girl here in L.A., we don't know much about her other than her Instagram handle, which I'm assuming is probably even taken down. After these were posted and she kind of reposted the messages that he had sent as a story, she wrote, "He's a stranger. I know nothing about him. He decided to tag me in his gun post. I'm so sorry for the victims and their families. I really don't know what to say. The only reason I responded to him was because I was afraid of him. I wish I stayed awake to at least try to convince him not to commit his crime. I didn't know," and then wrote on another one, "I don't know him, and I don't even live in Texas."
Now, a former high school classmate, Nadia Reyes, talked to the New York Post and talked more about his Instagram activity, that he had posted an Instagram story showing himself screaming at his mother, calling her a bitch as she tried to kick him out of the house. He posted videos on his Instagram where the cops were there. He'd be screaming and talking to his mom really aggressively, which makes you wonder, was there any sort of law enforcement interaction with him other than that one instance? I mean, he did not have a criminal background. He does not have a history of run-ins with law enforcement, at least on paper.
Yeah, but it does raise the question of what is this program that the school district said they were using to monitor social media pages? And again, it's a small town, it's a small school district, so there's not a whole lot of people. That's why this was sort of in the experimental stages. What would they look for? What would prompt them to act to try to involve law enforcement to prevent something like this from happening? We are standing by. Again, the governor of Texas is expected to hold a news conference. When that begins, we will join it live, unfortunately, because it's not like the news is going to get any better. Governor Greg Abbott is holding a news conference regarding yesterday's shooting.
Anyone who shoots his grandmother in the face has to have evil in his heart. But it is far more evil for someone to gun down little kids. It is intolerable and it is unacceptable for us to have in the state anybody who would kill little kids in our schools. Children are a blessing. God teaches us that. They're filled with laughter, innocence, and joy. Their love is a gift that parents get to unwrap every single day. Parents in Uvalde had that gift taken away from them, stolen by a demented person. Days before yesterday, when these children were at school, some were receiving awards for perfect attendance. These kids will never attend school again. To say the least, Uvalde has been shaken to its core. Families are broken apart. Hearts are forever shattered. All Texans are grieving with the people of Uvalde. And people are rightfully angry about what has happened. Events like this, they tear at the fabric of a community. Our job is to ensure that the community is not going to be ripped apart. All Texans must come together and support the families who have been affected by this horrific tragedy. What they need now more than ever is our love. What they need is uplifting from all of our fellow Texans and all of our fellow Americans. And let me emphasize something that I know you all know. But the reality is, as horrible as what happened, it could have been worse. The reason it was not worse is because law enforcement officials did what they do. They showed amazing courage by running toward gunfire for the singular purpose of trying to save lives. And it is a fact that because of their quick response, getting on the scene, being able to respond to the gunman and eliminate the gunman, they were able to save lives. Unfortunately, not enough. But I want to make sure that everybody knows, all of the law enforcement agencies and groups that are involved and were involved in this process. The Texas Rangers are leading the investigation, and they are supported by the Texas Department of Public Safety Highway Patrol, the Texas Department of Public Safety Criminal Investigative Division, DPS Aircraft, DPS Intelligence Counterterrorism Division, DPS Crime and Victim Support. They're also supported by the Texas Division of Emergency Management, the FBI, as well as multiple federal partners, including the DEA, ATF, HSI, and Border Patrol. And then, of course, the valiant local officials the Uvalde Sheriff's Department, Uvalde Police Department, Uvalde Independent School District Police, Uvalde County Constables, Uvalde Mayor, the County Judge, Uvalde District Attorney's Office, Local Public Works and Surrounding Police Department, and the San Antonio Police and Fire Department also. Let me walk you through some of the facts of what has happened. There's been a lot of things that have been said. Some are correct, some are incorrect. Let me tell you the best information that we have at this time, understanding very importantly that this is an ongoing investigation, and ongoing investigations often reveal new information as those investigations progress. The first thing that happened was that the gunman shot his grandmother in the face. She then contacted police. The gunman fled, and as he was fleeing, he had an accident just outside of the elementary school, and he ran into the school. Officers with the Consolidated Independent School District, they approached the gunman and engaged with the gunman at that time. The gunman then entered a back door and went down two short hallways and then into a classroom on the left-hand side. The gunman entered into that classroom, and the classroom was connected internally to another classroom. Border Patrol, Consolidated ISD officers, police, sheriffs, and DPS officers converged on that classroom, and a Border Patrol officer killed the gunman. As I said, Texas Rangers are leading the investigation, joined by federal, state, and local law enforcement officials. At this time, we know that 19 children have lost their lives. Two faculty members lost their lives. In addition to that, there are 17 people who are injured, but their injuries are not life-threatening. All family members of all of these students and faculty members have been contacted and informed about the circumstances. Officials are working with parents to ensure that their parents are going to be able to see their children. Parents should contact Victim Services at the County Fairplex. We know that there are parents still striving to make a connection. All parents are welcome and urged to contact Victim Services at the County Fairplex. The gunman was 18 years old and reportedly a high school dropout. Reportedly, there has been no criminal history identified yet. He may have had a juvenile record, but that is yet to be determined. There was no known mental health history of the gunman. He used one weapon, which was an AR-15, using 223 rounds. There was no meaningful forewarning of this crime, other than what I'm about to tell you. As of this time, the only information that was known in advance was posted by the gunman on Facebook approximately 30 minutes before reaching the school. The first post was to the point of, he said, "I'm going to shoot my grandmother." The second post was, "I shot my grandmother." The third post, maybe less than 15 minutes before arriving at the school, was, "I'm going to shoot an elementary school." I mentioned that during the shootout that took place at the school, in addition to the students and the faculty, there were three officers who were injured who were all remaining in good condition. One deputy sheriff lost a daughter in that school. Before coming out here, we had a long discussion with law enforcement at all levels. We had a discussion with community leaders, elected officials, and I asked the sheriff and others an open-ended question and got the same answer from the sheriff as well as from the mayor of Uvalde. The question was, what is the problem here? And they were straightforward and emphatic. They said, we have a problem with mental health illness in this community. And then they elaborated on the magnitude of the mental health challenges that they are facing in the community and the need for more mental health support in this region. I want to make sure everybody understands the mental health services that are available at this time. With me making one clarifying point in advance that I'm going to redouble down in the aftermath. Whenever anything as shocking and extraordinary and disturbing as this event is, occurs, there is an urgent need for everybody affected to access mental health. I cannot be more emphatic than saying with great urgency, everybody in this community, I mean everybody, the victims, the families, family members, friends, the law enforcement involved, but the entire community is in utter shock about this. Some physical wounds that were sustained by the officers, they're going to heal in the coming days. The mental and emotional wounds are far harder to see and last far longer. The state of Texas, working with federal and local officials and agencies, we're going to be here for a long, long time. And one key point that we will focus on is making sure that everybody in this community has the access they need for as long as they need it to address with the mental and emotional health care needs that they have. I want to list various agencies and make sure these are made available to the public. The mental health services currently available are from victim services from across the area, from federal, state, and local levels, including the Family Resource Center at the Uvalde County Fairplex. Schools have crisis teams at the Uvalde Civic Center. They provide wraparound services for families who are affected. The Texas Child Mental Health Consortium, created by the state legislature in 2019, is available to assist. The Blue Bonnet Children's Advocacy Center is available to provide services for children. The Texas Health and Human Services Commission is on site and will be available for ongoing provision of services. The Texas Education Agency is providing supplemental counseling services. The Texas Department of Public Safety Counseling is providing counseling services for law enforcement. And the FBI is also bringing in mental health services for law enforcement. It cannot be overemphasized the importance of law enforcement officers, all of them, seeking out and obtaining this mental health counseling. The District Attorney's Office for Victim Services has a phone number available for all victims, and candidly, the entire community, in a way, is a victim here. And I was provided their number to give out to you publicly. This is the number for the District Attorney's Office for Victim Services. The number is 830-278-2916. And at this time, I will pass the mic to Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
We're listening to this news conference out of Uvalde, Texas, regarding yesterday's school shooting. That was Governor Greg Abbott. Lieutenant Governor's about to speak.
Excuse me.
Sit down.
You're out of line and an embarrassment.
Hey, sit down. Don't play this stuff.
Shooting is right now, and you are doing nothing.
No, he needs to get his ass out of here. This isn't the place to talk this over.
This is totally predictable when you
sir, you're out of line. Sir, you're out of line. Sir, you're out of line. Please leave this auditorium. I can't believe you're a sick son of a bitch that would come to a deal like this to make a political issue.
This is, unfortunately, indicative of what's going on in the country.
Up from the crowd and walked right up to the base of the podium. The governor, lieutenant governor, and the others are standing on a are sitting at a stage.
This just a lot of emotion right now.
He's surrounded by reporters with cameras now as he's making his way out of the auditorium. And we'll find out who that was eventually. But again, this news update on the shooting investigation. The lieutenant governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, I believe is his name, is about to speak.
The guy that was yelling at him is using a walker.
Was he?
Yeah, the guy on the stage who said, an embarrassment.
He's still going as he's walking out of that auditorium.
He's not a nut job. There's a lot of people that feel the same way, that this was preventable. That's
there
why
are,
so emotional.
There are family members. There are family members who are crying as we speak. Their family members whose hearts are broken. There's no words that anybody shouting can come up here and do anything to heal those broken hearts. We all, every Texan, every American has a responsibility where we need to focus not on ourselves and our agendas. We need to focus on the healing and hope that we can provide to those who have suffered unconscionable damage to their lives and loss of life. We need all Texans to, in this one moment in time, put aside personal agendas. Think of somebody other than ourselves. Think about the people who were hurt. And help those who have been hurt. And this time, Lieutenant Governor will speak.
I was just about to say that there will be plenty of time to discuss and analyze what happened yesterday and do everything that we can within our power to hopefully prevent it from happening again. But now is a time, people watching around the world, in this country, in this state, to focus on these families, as the governor just said. Right now, we need to put our arms around the families of these victims, the students and the teachers. This is not a partisan issue. This is not a political issue. This is an unimaginable moment that will impact the lives of those who lost their children and those who survived, the adults and the teachers, the men and women of law enforcement who were there. We are better than this as a country. We are better than this. These types of crimes, when you see children killed, go to the very core of all of us who have children or grandchildren. We can't imagine the pain that these families are going through. We saw it 4 years ago in Santa Fe. So can we not be a nation that can stand together for at least a day or a week or a month? My gosh. To put these families first and everything else second? My gosh. You know, we live in a time, I said this yesterday, when people are at each other's throats everywhere we turn. Whether it's on the internet or an Oscar stage or two coaches arguing or in the political world or the media world. Who are we as an American people? Who are we? We all have to do our part. All do our part to make us a better people and a better nation. Evil will always walk among us. And in times like this, I've seen it. The governor's seen it. The speaker's seen it. The senators have seen it. The attorney general's seen it. In these other shootings, Sutherland Springs, El Paso, Odessa, Santa Fe, it's God that brings a community together. It's God that heals a community. It's God that heals a shattered and broken heart. And if we don't turn back as a nation to understanding what we were founded upon and what we were taught by our parents and what we believe in, then these situations will only get worse and happen more often. So no matter what your thoughts are today, pray for these families. Pray for this community. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. But right now, let's focus on the families. They deserve that. They need our love. They need our prayers. Thank you, Governor.
And now the Speaker of the House, Dade Phelan.
Just an update. It turns out that the person who interrupted the news conference a few minutes ago is a candidate for governor, one-time Congressman Beto O'Rourke. Who was in that news conference.
And the gross thing about it, and I thought he was just a member of the community, but apparently he had his campaign staffers there to film the whole thing, which is disgusting.
Yeah. Here is the Speaker of the House for the state of Texas.
Is faced with an unspeakable tragedy of which there are no words. There are no words to ease the pain and suffering and the anger in this community. I do want to reiterate what the governor said about the mental health of this community. This will take many, many years of pain and suffering and counseling. And your mental health is like any other health. It must be treated. It must be diagnosed. It must be talked about. And the legislature, when we reconvene, we will have a long, very robust discussion about mental health like we always have. And we'll continue to support mental health in this state and especially rural mental health. Like the sheriff said, and like the mayor said, every community has mental health needs, and they must be addressed. And this crisis is another reiteration of a mental health crisis we have in this state. I also want to thank the law enforcement for their work, DPS, Border Patrol, sheriffs, police officers, both locally in the school district. I believe one school district's police officer lost his wife in the shooting. Was there on the scene, and the governor mentioned sheriff's deputy losing a child in that building as well. Just unspeakable tragedy to this whole community, and the mental health of our law enforcement is crucial in these times. And it's okay for them to say that something's wrong as well. I do my deer hunting here in Uvalde County. It's a beautiful community with beautiful people, and all we can say is how tragic this is, and the support the state will show and will continue to show. And we just appreciate your resiliency, and let us know how we can help here at the state of Texas.
Thank you. And now the director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, Steve McCraw.
Thank you, Governor. On behalf of the sheriff and chiefs of police, the department's been asked to go through a timeline of the facts as we know the investigation right now. It's preliminary, this information, but we'll provide it as much information as we can. First, as already reported, Salvador Ramos was responsible for the horrific attack and killing of 19 school-aged children and two adults. He's 18 years old, as previously reported. He was dropped out of school. He had no criminal history that we've been able to find or detect at this particular point. He lived with his grandmother, Celia, who is 66 years old. On March 17th, Ramos purchased a semi-automatic rifle at a local sporting goods store. On March 18th, he purchased 375 rounds of ammunition for that rifle. On March 20th, he purchased another semi-automatic rifle at that same local store. The FBI has been able to find information on his Facebook account that the governor boy, had he provided you information on. At 11, approximately 11 o'clock, he announced, you know, on Facebook, a post, a message that he was going to shoot his grandmother. He shot his grandmother. He re-reported that he had shot her. And after that, he reported that he was going to a school to attack it. Now, he didn't identify the specific school. He did say elementary at that point in time. But the timeline is anywhere from 11 to 11:30. His mother reported him to the police department when she was able to run across the street to a neighbor and get help. And she was medevaced to San Antonio in critical condition at this point, but she's still alive. The subject, Ramos, at that point in time, used her vehicle, his grandmother's vehicle. He was living at their residence since March of 2022. Used her vehicle to drive approximately 2.29 miles, which is about a block and a half away from the school, Robb Elementary School. He crashed the vehicle at that point in time. He exited with a backpack. He took a rifle with him, one rifle. It was a Daniel Defense that he had previously purchased and had mentioned. He went towards the west side of the campus, which is a back door. But as he was approaching, as the governor mentioned earlier, there was a brave Consolidated Independent School District resource officer that approached him, engaged him, and at that time, gunfire was not exchanged, but the subject was able to make it into the school, as the governor reported. He went down a hallway, turned right, then turned left, and there was two classrooms that were adjoining, and that's where the carnage began. As he was shooting, when the shooting began, we had Uvalde police officers arrive on scene, and along with the Consolidated Independent School District officers, immediately breached, because as we know, an officer is every second of life. They breached it, engaged the active shooter, and continued to keep him pinned down in that location. You know, afterwards, until after a tactical team could be put together, comprised of Border Patrol agents on the front end, some members of their BORTAC unit, which is a SWAT team for Border Patrol. Also, there was a Zavala County deputy that got into the stack and two Uvalde police officers. They breached the classroom door. They went in. They engaged Ramos and killed him at the scene. That covers it, Governor. One thing I'd like to say, though, and you hit the nail on the head, is that in the profession of law enforcement, it is a profession. You know, what looks right and how we measure ourselves is the absence of crime and disorder. Obviously, this is a situation we failed in the sense that we didn't prevent this mass attack. But I can tell you those officers that arrived on the scene and put their lives in danger, they saved other kids. They kept them pinned down. And we're very proud of that. At the same time, we're always looking to get better and look at anything that might have been out there. We've yet to find a clue, whether it's social media or other indicators that might have given us any type of idea that he was about to do something like this. It gives us an opportunity to prevent it because, as we know, the overriding priority of you, certainly the legislature in Texas and the people of Texas, is that it's all about prevention. You know, prevent the next mass attack. And thank you for your leadership, and Speaker and Lieutenant Governor. Thank you.
Thank you. And now the superintendent for the Consolidated Independent School District, Hal.
We're listening to a live update from Uvalde, Texas. Governor Greg Abbott is leading this news conference. We're going to hear from the school superintendent here in just a moment. You're listening to KFI and KOST HD2 Los Angeles, Orange County.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.